Morning, everyone. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you from God's Word. And again, a little bit of a different Sunday morning as we're going to be doing a preview of the VBS lessons. Now, the VBS lessons are Monday through Thursday, so I'm going to pack four entire messages into the next 40 minutes. And we're really just going to do a summary of them, but I also want us to not just be reminded of what the kids are going to learn about, but there are many things. Anytime we open the Word of God, there's always something for us to learn, something to be encouraged by, something to be challenged with, something to be convicted of. So the theme for this year's Vacation Bible School is Superheroes of the Bible. And as Craig had mentioned, we have over 80 kids registered, which I'm just very encouraged by. And we ask that you and all of us as a chapel family, whether you're able to help during the week or not, just to be praying for the kids that come out, just for the Word of God to go out, the gospel to go out clearly, and for the Holy Spirit to work on the hearts of these little ones. So when we think about superheroes of the Bible, this year we're looking at a number of different characters, right? But we want to first talk about what is a superhero. So to get any good definition, you Google the word superhero. And the Oxford Dictionary says, a benevolent fictional character with superhuman powers, such as Superman, right? And so that first word, benevolent, right? If they're there to do good, right? If they're there to do bad, they're a supervillain. Right? So a benevolent fictional character. Now this is really the big focus for the kids that we want to remind them of. There's superheroes that they all know and love, right? And the reminder is those are fictional characters, right? But here when we talk about superheroes of the Bible, these are real men and women of God that walk this earth. And even beyond that, every day we want to draw their hearts and minds to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, to present a clear gospel that Jesus loved them and died on the cross for them, and that Jesus, and I'm always careful to say, not that Jesus is the greatest superhero, because he's not a fictional character, right? He's greater and above and beyond all of these superheroes that the kids know and love and pretend to be and dress up like. And again, it's something where thinking of this theme, my initial thought wasn't to have the theme of superheroes. And I don't know whether Craig, Daniela, Julie, whoever was involved in coming up with the theme, I was like, I'm not too sure. But then thinking that we have 80 plus kids registered, I really think that the theme of superheroes, I can just picture the kids getting a flyer in the mail and bothering their mom and dad to no end. I want to go. It's about superheroes. I want to go to Vacation Bible School. And so I want to ask you, and I think of that excitement that the kids have for their favorite superhero. And this morning, as we review the lessons, I want to ask you, what excites you? What brings you joy? What thrills your soul? Right? And for these kids, they're so excited about these superheroes, and we want to channel that excitement and point that focus onto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our desire for this week, that that children that come that don't know Jesus as their Savior would trust in him. But to ask ourselves, even this morning, as we preview these lessons, what excites us, right? What do we get thrilled about? And so when we think about superheroes, many of us know the Avengers, right? Marvel Comics has the Avengers. Now, I don't think it's me pushing it on Wesley. He's 3 years old. He's very impressionable. But he is so excited. Now, that's not Captain America over here. That's S.H.I.E.L.D. guy, all right? And that's not Thor over there with the hammer. That's Hammer guy, right? And Wesley can't stop talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. guy and Hammer guy, right? And he just, it's like he loves these superheroes, right? He pretends to be them. He has a blanket with superheroes. Well, I guess we did have control over buying that. But Marvel has the Avengers. DC Comics has the Justice League, right? We know many of these superheroes. But this morning I want to introduce you to a new brand of superheroes, the Faithful Few. And the faithful few we have here, we have David, we have Daniel, Moses, and Deborah. And one of our theme verses for the week is faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. And in that great chapter about love and biblical, godly love, we have this reminder of these three characteristics, attributes, traits that we should desire to have, but faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And for the week, these are our superpowers, right? And we're going to look at each superhero and talk about what their superpower is. Now, this is one of the songs. We're not going to sing it, but many of you might know it. They would play it on Star 99.1 maybe a few months ago, last year at some point maybe, but called Confidence. And we really, as Craig and I were talking, we took the chorus of this song and tied that into our lessons. Give, and it's really a prayer of the songwriter. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense so I can face my giants with confidence. Each and every one of us are here this morning. We had a different past week. We've had different situations that we've gone through. We each have different giants to face, right? And we can face those giants. We can face those problems in life because of these traits or attributes that are exemplified in Scripture for us, but also that are God-given. As we finish up our time this morning, we'll talk about how God gives us each of these things, right? Love, faith, hope, and confidence. But to come back to our faithful few, and we'll just jump right into our lessons, our first superhero, David, who has the superpower of love. And I'll ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll be doing a little bit of flipping around, and really what we're doing this morning is just taking a little snippet. We're going to go into more detail in each of the stories with the kids during the week, but you know the story, right? The story of David, and hopefully this will be a reminder as well, because last year, if you remember, what was our theme? The armor of God, and David and Goliath, and they'll remember, oh yeah, I remember learning that last year. But David, as he goes to the battle lines to see his brothers and visit his brothers, he sees Goliath, or he hears Goliath's challenge. And what's his response? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And David volunteers, and Saul says, no, you're too young, and Goliath's been a soldier since his youth. But David says, no, I'll do it. And eventually Saul agrees, and David goes and gets his five stones for a sling. And he goes and he approaches Goliath. And look at verse 44, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 44. And the Philistine, that is Goliath, said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And when we talk about these superheroes that the kids love, right, and their superpowers, David is not saying here, look how powerful I am. Look how great a warrior I am because I can defeat you, Goliath. No, not I will defeat you so you know that I'm the greatest champion of Israel. No, I will defeat you that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, right? It was God who was going to give him the victory. And when we think about David's superpower of love, you're like, well, how does David's love even fit into the story of David and Goliath? Where's the love there? And I thought of, and here's again, David going to fight Goliath. But one of the verses that we read that David wrote, Psalm 18:1, it's one of the memory verses for the kids. And David said, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. Right? It's David's confidence in God, that God's going to win the battle for him, that causes him to love him. Right? And that love for God leads him into action. I'll give you an example. In Acts chapter 13, Paul is speaking to the religious leaders, and he's going through this really narrative of the history of Israel. And in that narrative, going through all these different stories that we're familiar with, he says, God raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. And we see that multiple times in Scripture, that David is described as a man after God's own heart. He was a man who loved God. He was a man who loved the things that God loved. And his heart followed after God. But did it stop there? No. That verse, Acts 13:22 continues, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. It was his love for God that caused him to act, right? And we see these great things that David did in his life, all coming back to his heart for God, right? His love for God. How often do you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, say, I love God. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me. But it doesn't lead us to do all the will of our Heavenly Father, right? We should look at David's example, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Do our words of expression of love for God play out in our actions, in the words that we say, in our interactions with one another? May that be a challenge as we look at the example of David, this superhero with the superpower of love, and that we would have that same love, and our lives would follow that which Christ would desire us to do, to live lives that would be conformed to the image of Christ. Each day, as we introduce to a superhero in the Bible and their superpower, David with his love, we introduce them to a superhero that they would know. I didn't know much about Aquaman until recent years, but I did a lot of research in preparing for this message so I can inform you what Aquaman is about. He has superhuman strength, speed, endurance, agility, reflexes, and senses, right? He also has aquatic life telepathy. He can, through his mind, speak with the sea animals, right? He is panlingual. He knows every single language in the world. Isn't that incredible? Did you guys know that? I didn't know that. He's a super fast swimmer. Now, we might have some good swimmers here, but you are not anywhere near the speed of Aquaman. But he also has the power of hydrokinesis. I'm sure some of you can figure out, what is hydrokinesis? The ability to control the movement of water, or the ability to control or have power over water. But here's the problem with Aquaman. He has a weakness, right? And no matter what superhero, comic book character, cartoon you look up, every single one of these superheroes has a weakness, right? And that's the big difference. That's one of the big differences when we look at Jesus Christ, right? He doesn't have any weaknesses, right? But Aquaman, his weakness, I read this on the internet, so it's got to be true. If he doesn't come into contact with water for more than 1 hour, he dies, right? And so Aquaman, okay, he has to be around water, but that's his weakness. But he is such an incredible superhero. But what I'm reminding you this morning, and you already know this, but what I'm going to remind the kids of, is that he's fake. He's fictional, right? I know I'm not bursting anyone's bubble here. I hope I don't get any parents mad at me. I'm sure, hopefully the kids don't believe these superheroes to be real. But that's the reality, right? These are fictional characters. But even though Aquaman has the power of hydrokinesis in fairy tale land, it's not even real, we know someone who actually does have hydrokinesis, right? Power over water. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and each day we're going to draw our minds back to Jesus, in Matthew chapter 14, we see Jesus sent the multitudes away, and the disciples got onto a boat and went across the water, and Jesus went up to pray. And a storm came across onto the disciples, and they're fearing for their life, right? A pretty bad storm. And Jesus comes walking on the water, and they're fearful at first. They don't know it's him. But then when they realize it's Jesus, Peter says, if it's really you, have me come out to you and walk on the water to you, right? As Jesus is walking on the water, right? Having control over water. Talk about hydrokinesis, right? But in real life, this was Jesus who walked on this earth. And Peter walks out to him. And he's focusing on Jesus, but then he sees the wind and the waves and the storm around him, and he starts to sink in his fear and his doubt, and he loses his focus on Christ. But Jesus pulls him back up. My mind just continued on through the story of Peter. As Peter, in other times, doubted or had some failures, right? When he denied Jesus 3 times. But then we see after Jesus went to the cross, and he was buried, and he rose again, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ met with the disciples and had breakfast by the sea. And what does he say to Peter? He says, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. Again, he's asked. Again, he responds, Lord, you know that I love you. And a third time, Lord, you know that I love you. And he's insistent on it. And I ask myself, however many times I say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I really do. But does that cause me to do all the will of my Heavenly Father? Right? Our love should lead us to action. But we praise God that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's real, right? And he can deliver us just like he delivered Simon Peter out of the water. He can deliver us from our sins. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But we move on. The faithful few, we've learned about David and his love. Now Daniel and his superpower of faith. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. As we think about these superpowers, a reminder, these are characteristics, traits that these individuals had in God. And I refer to them as supernatural abilities, right? Or superhuman abilities. Why? Because we'll see in other verses in Scripture, they're given by God, right? And even if it's God giving us the ability to have that love, that faith, that hope, that confidence, we're putting it in a supernatural power, right? God is above the laws of nature. God is above the limitations of man. And so these are supernatural abilities. But Daniel and his faith. And we know the story, the governors that were jealous of Daniel, they said, we're going to find him, we're going to find him guilty of something. But they couldn't find anything. So they go to King Darius and they say, make a law, make a decree, and sign it that says no petition to any god or any man for the next 30 days. But David continued in his routine of praying to God, relying on God, trusting in God. And these governors find him guilty. They capture him and they throw him in the lion's den. And we realize as we read through the passage that King Darius really had a heart and an affection towards Daniel. Because what happens? That next night comes and King Darius rushes out to see if Daniel survived. Let's read together Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. Right? Keep in mind the end of that last verse. No injury whatever was found on him. Not because he went to lion taming school. Not because he found a crevice in the cave and hid there and the lions couldn't get to him. Not because it was dark and he hid himself. But no, no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. The faith of a man like Daniel, his faith in God, and the kid's next verse is Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? And each and every day, we want to share the gospel message, right? And this morning, even, we share the gospel message. If we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it's exciting to hear it again. But if we haven't, we're reminded, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, right? We have that problem of sin. We're headed for a lost eternity, dead in our sins. But it's Jesus Christ who makes us alive again. But Daniel had faith. Right? And once we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and for salvation, then after that, what do we do from there? Well, Daniel, you see, in his life experiences, had faith in God. Right? And shouldn't that be the same for us? Right? We go through situations, and I'll be the first to admit, I doubt, I fear, I have concerns in this life. But may we daily trust in God and believe in God and have faith. And really to remind the kids, well, what is faith? Well, it's believing. It's not just the knowledge. But it's putting your trust and dependence that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can forgive me of my sins. Not by any righteous deeds that I can do. That's all filthy rags in God's eyes. But that salvation is through faith alone in Christ. It's the only way to please God. We go on to our next superhero. And some of you might know Storm, right? Storm is one of the X-Men. And here's a band of mutants that are using their superpowers for good, right? And she has atmokinesis. Right? So if we know what hydrokinesis is, atmokinesis is the ability to control the weather, the atmosphere, right? And that's a pretty cool superpower, right? I would say if I was able to have any superpower, I think flight would be pretty cool. And she has flight, but really all of these are kind of fascinating. But body temperature regulation, right? She's able, in these extreme weather conditions, able to control her body temperature in heat and in cold. But she has a weakness. Her weakness is actually her emotions, right? And if she's really sad or distressed or distracted and she can't focus her emotions, she loses that ability to control the weather. One of her other weaknesses is she's claustrophobic. Maybe some of us have that weakness as well. But imagine to have that ability to control the weather. But she's fake. She's not real. She's a fictional character. But we know someone who can control the weather. And we're reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And as he was with the disciples in the boat, we see in Matthew chapter 8, the disciples are fearing for their life. And Jesus is sleeping in the boat. And as Jesus is sleeping there, the disciples wake him up and they say, "Do you even care that we're perishing?" And how does Jesus respond? "O you of little faith." The disciples in that moment didn't have faith that they would be delivered out of that storm. And what does Jesus do? He stands up and he rebukes the wind and the waves, and the sea was calm. And how did the disciples respond? "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Right? We look at the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and so many things he did in his life that really revealed that he was the Son of God. Right? But Jesus controlling the weather, atmokinesis. But he was real, right? We remind the kids that he's not just one of these fictional superheroes. He's a real hero that doesn't just do cool things because they're miracles and they're neat to talk about. But no, he died on the cross for you. He has the power to save you. we bring the hearts and minds back to the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. But even this morning, may each of us here have that assurance that Jesus died for our sins. Moving on with the faithful few, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Next, we have Moses. And Moses' superpower was hope. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And in Exodus 14, we see in this part of the book of Exodus, the plagues have already come upon the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh finally agrees to let the people of Israel go. Right? And so he releases them after all these demands of Moses saying, "Let my people go." He finally lets them go as they were slaves in Egypt. And as the nation of Israel is fleeing, Pharaoh changes his mind once again. And he sends his army after the Israelites. And as the Israelites come up to this great body of water, the Red Sea, water in front of them, the Egyptians behind them, the army coming after them, look at their mindset. Exodus chapter 14, and let's start at verse 10. Try to understand the mindset of the people of Israel. Exodus 14:10. "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." You know what I see in those three verses? I see no hope. No hope with the people of Israel. They've come to the end. They're saying, "We know we're going to die here. Why did you bring us out here to perish?" But then we go to Moses, this superhero in the Word of God, who has this superpower of hope. Even when everyone around him has lost hope. Verse 13, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" Right? In each of these situations, David, Daniel, and Moses, they're giving the credit to God. God's going to fight for you. It's Daniel's belief in God that delivered him from the lions. It was David saying that, "My strength is the Lord." Right? And so we have here Moses, even when he's surrounded by people who are hopeless, he has hope. And even for us today, in a world that is without hope, right, we should desire to share the hope that we have in Christ. Right? And I would say, even among believers, oftentimes it's our tendency, we get bogged down by the cares of this world and the frustrations and the disappointments, and sometimes things are just never going our way. And even among believers, sometimes we lose hope. But may we be that I guess we could say, bright light in the midst of that darkness, that we would be reminded of the hope that we have in Christ. And even for salvation, right? When we talk about that word hope, to clarify with the kids, and even this morning, it's not a hope like, "I'm hopeful that this happens," but it's an assurance. Psalm 71:5, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth," right? Hope in the Lord, right? It's hope in God. And like I said, it's not, "Oh, well, I hope this happens. It may or may not." It's a confidence, right? Moses knew that God was going to deliver the nation of Israel from the Egyptians. And to remind the kids this week, from my youth, right? Today is the day of salvation, right? Today is the day that we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we've done that already for the forgiveness of sins, may we put all of our hope in him as we go through each day. Moses, with this superpower of hope, may we follow his example of hoping in God, not despairing, not giving up. This world can be a depressing place, right? We lose hope, but may we trust in the Lord. Move on to the next superhero for today, Wolverine. This was probably one of my favorite superheroes growing up. I had a little action figure. He had superhuman senses, agility, and reflexes. His one superpower as a young kid that I didn't realize, he has regenerative healing, right? He has the ability to heal himself. He also has an adamantium-infused skeleton, right? So this group of bad guys, I guess it was, did experiments on him, and they infused this metal into his skeleton, right? So he has this strong metal inside of his body, and these retractable bone claws, but now metal that comes out of him. That's how he fights the bad guys, right? And so he's a pretty cool superhero, right? But he has a weakness, right? Like all the other superheroes, he has a weakness. He actually is at risk continually of adamantium poisoning, right? He has too much of this metal in his body. But because of his ability to heal himself, he's able to survive with this metal in his body. But his other weakness, kind of makes sense, is magnets, right? He's got all this metal in his butt. No, and he doesn't do well against magnets, right? Magneto is one of the bad guys that he just can't seem to defeat because it's a weakness. When I was a kid, I was like, wow, like this guy is so cool. And he's a good guy. He's fighting off the bad guys. But he's fake. He's not real. We can't put our hope in Wolverine to save us from our sins, right? But look at that regenerative healing. That's pretty cool, right? But we know someone who is real that has not only the ability to heal, but to heal others, right? And so we have the story. And I was just, my mind was on this over the last like few weeks. And even this morning at the Lord's Supper where we talked about leprosy, right? And how it's a picture of God's healing of our sin. We have Jesus healing these 10 lepers. And in Luke 17, let's actually turn there. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I know we're flipping around a little bit. But Luke 17, we see that these lepers come to Jesus. They have mercy on us. And Jesus says to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they're on their way to see the priest, they were healed. And one of the 10 come back. Luke chapter 17. Let's look at the response of this one leper who was healed. 10 of them were healed, but the one who came back. Luke 17, 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, right? One who we think wouldn't come back to say thank you. He's the only one that does come back. And really reminding the kids, Jesus is real. He was a man that walked this earth, but he was the Son of God. And he is the Son of God. And he healed these lepers. But what about their condition, right? Well, first and foremost, they had to realize that they had a problem, right? They realized that they had leprosy. And imagine yourself in this situation. Imagine you had leprosy and Jesus heals you. How would you respond, right? And I always think about this, even when I think of the forgiveness of sins that I've received, that's offered to each and every one of us. When God heals us, right, of our sickness of sin, how do we respond? Is our response like that of this leper, right? He saw that he was healed. He returned to God, right? Maybe there's some of us here this morning. We need to return to God, right? He glorified God with a loud voice. Do we do that in our daily life? Do we glorify God in a loud voice? Do we fall on our face at Jesus' feet and give him thanks? May that be something that we do on a daily basis. But first and foremost, to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, but then daily giving him thanks, falling at his feet to worship. We see the gratitude of this leper that was cleansed, just the expression of joy and excitement in his face. Is that what you feel like? And not that we base our salvation and the assurance of our salvation on our emotions, but I hope the Lord Jesus Christ brings you excitement. I hope you get excited about the Son of God who loved you and died on the cross for you. We move on to, last but not least, in our faithful few, Deborah, right? We already talked about faith, hope, and love. But what about Deborah, right? And even in that song, we're reminded, and even in that last verse, we're reminded of confidence. Deborah's superpower was courage. And not confidence in herself, but confidence in the Lord. And that's what gave her courage. Let's turn to Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. And in Judges chapter 4, we see Deborah, who is one of the judges. She's described as a prophetess here. She's declaring a word from God to Barak and saying to Barak, Barak, God's going to use you to defeat Jabin, the king of the Canaanites. And so this is a sure word from God, right? Deborah is proclaiming this to Barak. And what's Barak's response in Judges 4, verse 8? And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Right here, Deborah has given him a clear word from God, and there's a hesitancy. There's perhaps doubt, perhaps fear. I'm not here to judge Barak, because if I was in that same situation, I'd be fearful to go out to battle as well. But we see here, he's not willing to go unless Deborah goes. And what's Deborah's response? Verse 9, she said, I will surely go with you. Right? The confidence that she has. And it's not in herself. It's not a courage that, hey, I'm powerful. I'm a strong enough warrior to lead Barak into battle and have the victory. Jump down to verse 14. The time comes to go to battle. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? Right? Each and every one of these superheroes, they're using their superpower, the love, the faith, the hope, the confidence, But it's not in themselves. It's not, I have hope in myself. It's not, I have faith that I can accomplish this. It's not, I have courage of my own accord. But all the credit is being given to the Lord. Has not the Lord gone out before you, right? God has made a plan. He's given a clear, sure word. We can believe it. And I think of the verse for the kids that day, Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that, that he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, right? He's with us wherever we go. And we have no need to fear, right? We should be in fear of hell. We should be in fear of judgment if we're outside of Christ, right? Our sin deserves that. But Jesus died for those sins. We can have forgiveness. But once we trust in Christ as believers, do we go through this life fearful? Yeah, sure, there's times that things frighten us. But do we? Are we discouraged? Are we afraid on a continual basis? May we learn from the example of Deborah and have that confidence that for us today even, the Lord has gone out before us. God has a plan for your life and a plan for my life. May we trust in that and have confidence in him. Our last superhero that the kids would most likely know is Wonder Woman, right? And Wonder Woman is just, I didn't really like her in the past, but recently I've been like, well, you know what, she's pretty incredible. But superhuman strength, speed, reflexes, stamina, and durability. Accelerated healing, kind of like Wolverine. She's able to heal herself. She's able to fly. Again, a really cool superpower. But then I read this in my laborious research. Immortality. Immortality. She has the ability to live forever. I didn't realize that. But she has a weakness, right? And what's her weakness? Her weakness is actually herself, right? So if you see those armbands on her, those bands, which I guess sometimes it's gold bands here, silver bands, those bands actually help control her power. And if those bands broke off, she would succumb to her own power and she would destroy herself. That's how powerful she is. But she's fake. She's not real. But we have a God, we have a Savior who truly is immortal, right? Who has immortality. And going through the story with the kids this upcoming week again, I just pray that you would pray for them, that they would understand that Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life, that he was betrayed by a friend, that he went on trial and false accusations were made against him. People spit on him. People beat him. People made fun of him, right? Then he went to the cross and he died for your sins and my sins. And he was laid in the grave. But 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, right? Immortality, right? Forget Wonder Woman. Hey, she's pretty cool, but she's fake. Here is the Son of God manifest in the flesh, and he died on the cross and rose from the dead. Victory over sin and death and hell for you and for me. What great reminders we have of how great Jesus is. We read that in Matthew 27, but in John 19, I was just thinking of this verse. As we talk about superheroes and superpowers, so often, even among ourselves, as believers, even people outside of Christ, we think we have the ability to control our lives, right? We have power. I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to determine my own destiny. And we have this false sense of, yeah, I'm pretty powerful, right? I have control over my own life. John 19, Pilate says, as Jesus is on trial, I have power to crucify you and power to release you. Jesus says, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. And we won't turn there for the sake of time, but John 10, I've heard people refer to these as some of the most powerful verses in Scripture. When you're speaking of power and the power that Jesus has, Jesus in John 10 says, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. When you talk about power, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about these superheroes, you know, I was sharing with you that these superheroes of the Bible, they have superpowers. Why do I call them superpowers? Well, again, David with his love, Daniel with his faith, Moses with his hope, Deborah with her confidence. Where do these things come from? Where do these things come from? Well, they come from God, right? And in speaking of love, I was thinking of 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is from God. We read of the fruit of the Spirit, right? And love is one of these gifts that God gives us in the fruit of the Spirit, right? And so love comes from God, perfect, godly love. What about faith? Romans 12:3, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, right? And again, it's hard for us to understand, but God gives us this faith so that we're able to put our faith in him and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what about hope? Colossians 1:27. If we trust in Christ, we repent of our sins. We turn from our sins and we ask for forgiveness. God says that you now have Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Colossians 1 says. Christ is put in us and dwelling within us, and we have hope. Not a, I hope this happens, but an assurance that one day we will be with him. And he is with us throughout this lifetime. And confidence, courage. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Right? God is the one giving us these gifts. And I ask you this morning, are you ignoring these gifts? Are you not taking full advantage of these gifts if you are in Christ? At the beginning, I asked, what do you get excited about, right? What do the kids get excited about? They get excited about these superheroes. I can't tell you, again, even just with Wesley, comic books and these superheroes have been around for a long time, right? But in the last 5, 10, maybe even 15 years, I feel like it's amplified, right? And people, kids, even adults, I get excited about superheroes, right? But I ask you, what do you get excited about, right? And not that our faith is just based on emotion, but do I come to the Lord's Supper, you know, the remembrance meeting at 9:15, and am I here begrudgingly? Am I here unwillingly? Or do I get excited about that? That Jesus died for me, right? And we're not basing our faith on our emotions, but how can what Jesus did for us not excite us if we truly understand what he did? Right? And Jesus, who we read in Scripture, it says over and over, greater than Solomon, greater than Abraham, greater than Jacob, right? He is far better and greater and just so much more incredible than these fictional superheroes that we were learning about. And even these men, these are real men and women of God. But Jesus, again, far greater than Moses, right? And Hebrews would remind us of that Jesus is better. And he is the only one that we can put our trust in for the forgiveness of sins. Different things excite you, right? Different things excite me. I'm excited that football season is going to start soon, right? I'm excited that, even baseball. I usually don't watch baseball until it gets to the playoffs. Maybe you watch a certain TV show and there's a new season coming out and you're getting excited about it. You know, I'll be honest. Some of you know I really like board games, right? And when I was in Florida, I found a board game. I ordered it and I'm still waiting for it to come. And I'm excited about it, right? I think about it, I'm like, when is it going to come? I check the mail every day. And these trivial things that we get excited about. And it's not wrong to get excited about them, but do we not get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ? The one true hero, the only one, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. May we put our faith and trust in him, first and foremost for salvation, but then on a daily basis. May we continue to love him. May we have faith in him. May we hope in him, and may our confidence be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the great godly examples of these men and women of God and the ability that you gave them to do some pretty incredible things. And we pray that even as we looked at these characters and we looked at how you went out before each and every one of them, you delivered each and every one of them, you provide that same deliverance to us. May we stand in awe of you. May we stand in awe of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave his life a ransom for us, paid the price, the costly price for our redemption. We pray for this upcoming week of Vacation Bible School that these kids would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that your Holy Spirit would work in their hearts, prepare them to receive the word. We pray for the ministry to the younger kids, the older kids, the women's Bible study. We pray for all the helpers. We just thank you for this opportunity to serve you. And we pray that you would be glorified and the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted up. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.